أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على نبينا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. There are certain masail which are meant for the ladies when they are in the period time. First of all, for them, namaz is ma'af, that is exempted, and there is no qadha for those namaz which are left out during the period. But for fasting, although they are exempted from fasting, but in the later part of the year, there is a qadha for the left out fasts. For salat, there is no qadha for them, for the salat they are left out in these days. And it is haram for them, according to certain ulama of the past, like Sayyid Musnad al-Hakim and earlier, to read those surahs of Quran which contain wajib sijda. Because we are approaching the dates now when from 21st, in the Sipara 21st, there will be a surah in which there is a wajib sijda. Then in 24th, there will be a surah in which there is an ayat and there is a wajib sijda. Then on 27th, we will have another one surah in which there is a wajib sijda. And finally on 30th. Now, Ayatullah al-Hakim and the Mujtahids earlier used to say that the whole surah cannot be read by ladies when they are in period. But Ayatullah Khui and Ayatullah Sistani, and even Ayatullah Gulpayagani, they have said that it is not the whole surah. It is that ayat which must not be read. That ayat upon recitation of which sijda is wajib. In any case, these surahs are called Al-Azaim. And the surahs Al-Azaim must not be read. It is makruh if it is read without wudu, and also if it is read in the days of period. Now, in Dua-e Kumail, there is one part which is, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. That comes from the surah which has got a wajib sajda. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. This part of Dua-e Kumail is from Quran. And those who are in Taqreed of Ayatullah Hakim, when they read Dua-e Kumail, they will avoid reading this ayah. Those who are in Taqreed of Ayatullah Khui and Sistani, they can read this ayah. Because sajda is not wajib on this ayah, there are other ayahs. Second masala which has come to my mind is that some people consider قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ as one surah, and they are reading the two surahs together in Quran, in namaz. These two are separate surahs, and we have to read only one surah after Surah Al-Hamd. To read two surahs after Surah Al-Hamd is a bid'ah. Bid'ah means we are trying to put into Shariat which is not there. Therefore, we must avoid reading two surahs. Read one surah only after Surah Al-Hamd. But there are four surahs in Quran which have been twinned. In namaz, they must be put two together. Like Surah Alam Nashrah, Laka Sadrak. If you want to read after Surah Al-Hamd, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, then you can't read alone after Alam Nashrah, Wal-Duha Wal-Layli Iza Saja must be read. These two surahs have been twinned for namaz only. The second couple and the second twin is, if you read Suratul Fil, Alam Tara Kaifa Fa'ala Rabbuka Bi Ashabil Fil, then immediately after completing this, you must also read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim li ilafi Quraishin ilafihim Rihlat al-Shita'i wa-Sayf. These two surahs have been twinned. In namaz alone, right, other surahs are all independent. And therefore, we will, mu'awwadhatayn, as they are called, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, will be read. Each, if you read one surah, it is enough. There is no need to read. In namaz-e-shafa, before witr. You see, there are 11 rakats. 8 rakats are namaz-e-nafila. Then 2 rakats is shafa. In shafa, we have been asked to read more than one surah, if you have time. That is exclusive. You can't have analogy to say why there and why not here. That is something else. Tonight, I was thinking of now winding up because we are entering great nights now. And in history, if we look on this night, in this month, in this night, the Prophet was not in Medina or Makkah, he was in Badr. The first Islamic defensive war. And tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, is the night of the conquest of Badr. That means Fath Badr. It's Kushali, if at all we understand, that the first battle to which the Prophet was drawn by force and without having any of the ammunition or even artillery, he fought that. And that army won, and how it won, and what were the implications of that victory. Tomorrow, inshallah, we will understand more. But tomorrow is a night of joy, in a sense, that it is Laylatul Badr. What we have to understand today is that if you, when the Western scholars and all other under the influence of Western scholars, they have now found there is nothing now they can pick up on in Islam. They tried with so many things. Why the Prophet married 4 wives, they found out why. Why he married more than 4 wives, they have already found the answer now. Why there is so much of description about paradise, they have also seen the answer. Everything that they wanted to object to, they have found the answer. Now there is one question remaining, which for which they will never find an answer, and that is jihad. The moment there is problem somewhere, the only thing that these non-Muslims are afraid of is the fatwa of jihad. And they have understood jihad as something else. They have understood jihad means draw the sword, come into the battlefield and fight. That is the only meaning they have understood of the word jihad. While they forget that this jihad, which happens to be in Furu'ad-Din, is exclusive to Islam. It is the dynamic force which drives the Muslims forward and which also makes our lives jihad. Had there been no radiance of jihad in our lives and in our Sharia, this would have been a dead community. Ummah would have been dead. They can't understand this. When the Prime Minister of England in those days stood up and said, as long as this book is in the world, we British people will never be able to sleep at rest. And he was actually showing Quran in the Parliament. As long as this book is here in the world, there can be no rest for us. And somebody asked him, what is there in that book? He said, this book talks of sword and kill and hit. فَقَاتِلُوهُمْ كَافَّةً. Kill him altogether. They don't read what is there before. إِنْ قَاتَلُوكُمْ كَافَّةً فَقَاتِلُوهُمْ كَافَّةً. If they kill you altogether, then you stand up to kill. They don't want to read the first one. So now, what is jihad? Jihad, jahada means he struggled. Ijtahada, he struggled. And when he struggled to get a good result, he became a mujtahid, one who has struggled, one who has worked hard. Jahada. Now, when from the battlefield when the Prophet was coming back together with his army, he said once, رَجَعْنَا مِنَ الْجِهَادِ الْأَصْغَرِ إِلَى الْجِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ. We have returned from a small jihad into a big one. People are tired of fighting at that time. They thought, we have just come home, and now he's giving us news of another fight. And that also, Akbar, means bigger fight. I don't know where he will take us away. And they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is jihad? He said, now, jihad in Islam is fighting with your own nafs. That is jihad, Akbar. That nafs which drives you to committing the sins and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So jihad starts from jihadun nafs. There is no sword there to carry. There is just someone to stand and say that my desire tells me that I do this sin, I will not do it. That is jihad. That is the reason why in Nahj al-Balagha Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayhi says that when you say Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu Ilayh, try to understand that I seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I want to return unto Him. Atubu means I want to return. Atubu is not Tubu Kiswahili. Atubu na Tubu. That is, by going into Kiswahili, Tubu means to repent. But Arabic Atubu means I want to return. Inna Allah Tawwaban Rahima. Allah is oft returning. That means I run away from Him, then I come back, He comes back also. So, atubu ilayhi means I want to return to Him. He says, do you know what it means? It means that, Mawla says in Nahj al-Balagha, that the food that you ate at the time of committing the sin, you have to abandon that also. The food which took you to that. And the dress which you wore at the time of committing particular sins, you have to abandon the dress. And the friends that took you to committing sins, you have to abandon the friends. Then you say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa Atubu Ilayh. Akbar Allahabadi said rightly, Milke yaron se guna hua shauke guna. Milke yaron se hua shauke gunah aadmi ka aadmi shaitan hai. I have a friend, whenever I meet him in the month of Ramadan, he takes me in the morning for Coca-Cola, that's all. Baba, I'm fasting. That friend is a devil, is shaitanul akbar. He has got to be left. He has got to be left, the great Satan. You see, all these things Ali ibn Abi Talib says, now, the haram food that I ate includes everything plus your McDonald's. Yes, of course, yes. So it was revealed to me, I was shocked that still our people eat that nonsense haram and feed their children. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then just now you heard Mukhtar say, sometimes our dua aren't accepted. He's right. Our dua are not accepted because the food that is inside is haram and najis. So now what happens? There is Sunday. And the children are insisting you want to go out. Fine. To go out in your car for a drive. Is it haram? No. Take them. Let them enjoy. Let them breathe some fresh air. But is it absolutely necessary that they must go and eat that najis? They will insist. They are children. Children are children. Qawm-e Fir'aun. You see? Children are all Qawm-e Fir'aun. They are all, you see, the army of Fir'aun. Because they don't know. They insist, we want to go. It is for us to act like Musa. You see, and say, Baba, we will have, but we will have it at home halal, this is najis and haram. Right from then, when a boy understands and a girl that this is najis and haram, when young, inshallah, till it grows and dies, he will not take again haram food. This is jihad, my friends. And this jihad has got its own thawab. We don't know. We think we are just acting. It is jihad. And the Prophet said, this is jihad-i-akbar. Somebody says something. I have a ready answer. And an answer which will make him, as you say in Gujarati, nani ma yaad karave. You see, an answer which will remind him of his own misdeeds. I have a ready answer. But if I say, it is going to create a fitna. Now, is it not jihad? It is here. I want to say something. Within me something tells me don't. For this will end up in a conflagration and fire. Keep it up with you. Inshallah, Allah will revenge for you, avenge for you. You kept quiet. People thought he has no answer. Allah knows. And Imam says, this is the sweetest swallow that I ever had. I knew the answer, but I kept myself constant. This is jihad. My sisters are listening to me. 90% of the problem at home is because wife is answering back, talking back, emancipation. And then a man talks, and then the wife talks back. You see, why? Because we are living in Europe. You see. Now what happens? The problem is that when you talk and he talks back, and then when she has talked back, you talk back, and again he... So this is called a silsila. Continuous. There is no end to it. Till sometime, at some end, it becomes so bitter that we end up in separation and death. That is the reason why. Man, because of the type of life that he leads outside, he may be somehow, someday, not always, disturbed, distressed, comes home and speaks something which he should not speak. Wife keeps quiet on that day, that is a jihad. The Prophet said, the wife who knows that the husband is at fault, but for the sake of peace at home, she has kept quiet to tell him later that what you did was not right. When he is in mood, huh? It's a jihad. It's something. The ladies might think I'm trying to be one-sided. I'm not trying to be one-sided. I'm trying to tell you that this is how life is. It might apply to one man. You come home sometime, the wife is distressed, the neighborhood problem, children problem, she cooked and it burnt, it happens. Microwave is not working. You see? And so many problems she has at home. Bad news has come. You don't know about it. Some, God forbid, bad news has come. She is grieved. And you enter, you find that she is not in her element. She is out of mood. And she might give an abrupt or a curt reply to something. Keep quiet. And then when the time comes, you say, Kurovo. You see? And the whole thing is, but if you start fighting, these are called the moments of jihad. It is true. It is practical. This is also between friends, my friend. Husband and wife is something else. Friends, you and I. You may say something, and I am surprised at what has happened to him today. But I keep quiet. After a while I say, bye. Something wrong? What happened? And you say, he will immediately say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Shaitan has gone now. These are all moments of jihad, my friend. And if the Westerners understood that how a Muslim life and family is trained by the concept of jihad, they would not accuse us of immediately picking up the sword. A man comes to the Prophet, these early days of history, when the Prophet was sleeping under a tree. And he was resting, there was no sword, nothing, unarmed. Under the tree he was resting. And the enemy comes and sees him alone. Early days. They wanted him to be killed. They wanted to eliminate him. Now this is the best opportunity. He actually woke him up. And he said, Muhammad, rise. Here is the sword in my hand. Who is going to save? Call your Allah now. And the answer the Prophet gave him was that yes, there isn't anyone but my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just as he raised his sword, it hit the twig, the branch of the tree. When it hit the twig, the hold of the sword became loose and it fell on the ground near the Prophet. The Prophet picked it up and said, now you tell me who you are going to call. It is in my hand now. But I told you that I'm going to call my Allah, I called him. Now you tell me who has no Allah, who are you going to call? And immediately he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. That is the reason why. That is the reason why our ulama have answered this years ago. Islam beshak talwar se phela hai. Magar lohe ki talwar se nahi, akhlaq ki talwar. Not with the sword of the steel and iron, but the sword of akhlaq. They came and they went. Today also, this is one step of jihad, where we have got to mold ourselves this way. If this jihad is understood, this concept of jihad, upon which all of them have written, Ayatollah Khomeini has written, Ayatollah Mutahhari has written, and 40 years ago, ulama of India have written, I have got those books, which I studied then. They have all written that if jihad is understood this way, first, jihad bin nafs, then the concept of jihad bil mal, jihad bil qalam, jihad bil lisan, and jihad bil saif is then understood. Jihad by your wealth, jihad by your time, jihad by your tongue, jihad by even sometimes using an arm, anything like gun or whatever is understood. This was the call of jihad. Jahadu bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. Jahidu bi amwalikum. If this is understood now, ulama, they became ulama like this, just because they went to college and came back. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Read any alims, up to Ayatollah Khomeini, who is our recent mujtahid, right? Just passed away here some few years ago. Ayatollah Al-Khoi, and Ayatollah Gulpaygani, because seniors, when he died, 96 years old. Ayatollah Shahabuddin Marashi. Sayyid Shahabuddin Marashi in his will writes that I am requesting my sons to do Hajj on my behalf, for I was never a mustatir. Thousands and thousands of rupees and riyals and pounds passed under his hand. It was to be distributed, nothing kept by himself. You go to his library today, which he has made, every book that is there on that book, I'll show you what he has written. He's been in his own signature. I have prayed namaz-e-ijara for marhum so-and-so. Whatever the money I got, I bought this book. Namaz-e-ijara means when somebody dies, his heirs come and tell me, read namaz for my father or my mother. And there is a board there. In Qom, inshallah, when you go, you will see that board in his library where he writes, this is the 20th day of hunger. How many days? 20th day of hunger. I have only subsisted on water and dates. And today, alhamdulillah, I got namaz-e-ijara. And I am praying it to be able to buy that book. He has named the book. This was the jihad that they had to carry out in order to learn ilmeh deen. To become a mujtahid or to become an alim who we follow is not a joke. There is a jihad behind it. A jihad is sacrificing one's comfort. Sayyid Ni'matullah Jazairi writes that we used to go at night where people used to throw garbage, go there and see from the garbage if there were things which could be eaten and take home and boil it and eat it. This is my friend, Sheikh Zainul Abidin Mazandarani, one of the greatest mujtahid of his time, writes that we were 35 students in Najaf Ashraf. 35. And there was no food. If we had morning, nothing in the afternoon at night. If we had food at night, there was nothing in the morning. But we were told by our teachers, Jahidu! But there is a limit to jihad because hunger is killing us. No shirt, no abba, no kaba except one. Wash and wear. Or take from somebody, wear his, wash yours. When it is dried up, he wears yours. Imama getting dirty, there was no time to wash it. Books were there to read, to go to alim and come back. He said, one day we had a meeting, 35 boys. And we said, enough is enough. We can't go on like this. Hunger! What should we do? So what can we do? Sheikh writes in his own autobiography that I slept and I dreamt Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullah alayh, entered Haram, and I thought this was the best opportunity. And I rushed towards him and I said, Salaamu alayka ya Mawla. Oh my Mawla, salam. Mawla looked at me and said, Zainul Abidin, what is the problem? I said, Agha, you don't know the problem? You know the problem. 35 of us, food comes and goes. Sometimes we go days in hunger, no clothes. We are here, your neighbor, to forever. Mawla smiled and said, don't you know that I have only promised three things for those who really want to learn? Only three things. Naan, naan is khubzu sha'irin wa ma'ul bi'r wa ziyaratul amir. I have only promised three things. You want to learn here? One loaf of sha'ir, barley, and one glass of water each time from the well, and the ziyarat of Ali ibn Abi Talib. If you want it, stay. Otherwise, go. There is no compulsion. So I started weeping. I said, Ya Ali, how can one live? They said, well, if you want more than this, then go to my son Hussein ibn Ali in Karbala. So he woke up and he told all his friends that we have been asked to go to Karbala. Tomorrow is Thursday. Let us go to Karbala. So they, in the night, they walked to Karbala. Now 35 Talib ilm who were not seen in the bazaar, the business people immediately started asking, where are Talaba? Where are Talab? They are here every day. Where are they? One said, one of them has dreamt and has gone to Karbala because Imam told him to go and ask for Sayyidul Shuhada. Now they went to Karbala, little knowing that developments were taking place. Immediately, Mu'mineen of Najaf sat, and they said, this is a sin we are committing. Talaba have no food. So one fellow said, I am giving for 1 year. The other fellow said, I donate for 1 year clothes. The other said, I am donating. But these students did not know anything. They reached there. They came to Imam Hussain alayhi salam into the haram, and they wept and wept and said, Mawla, your father has sent us here. Do something for us so that we may be able to maintain ourselves. And, you know, they came back. But when they came back, they found everything ready for them. Food, clothes. This is the reason why, my friend, even today, a talib-e-ilm in Najaf, whatever his position may be, on Thursday he will be in Karbala. Why? Because the possibility is that whatever I want to ask more, I'll get from Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, but not by eating, overeating. Al-ilmu fil ju'. There is a jihad there. Ilm is in hunger. Wal-ibadatu fil ju'u kathalik. And ibadat also is ju'. Ah, you've got no room, you want to belch. Gas within it has got no room to come out from either side. And I am standing for namaz. Allah says, what namaz is this? Because everything inside there is a battle. Man is thinking of his tummy. And he is praying. It's in hadith. Why are you coming before me with tummy full? You see, jihad means this. Therefore, fasting is a jihad. But I believe, and I believe it rightly, because this is supported by all the day it was jihad, Mullah Sahib. There is no doubt about it. No smoking, no cup of tea, no cup of coffee. See? All the luxuries. There was no doubt it was jihad. But jihad exactly starts at 4:45. Sambusa, kebab, everything that comes your way, as many as you can, as if you have come to eat with vengeance. That is the time when you stop yourself and say, no. The benefit of Sawm must, inshallah, continue. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.